You're listening to The Course Creator Show, the podcast all about building your online course business. We talk about marketing strategy, making money, and creating a business with impact that gives you freedom and lights you up. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, a Canadian mom of two, a speaker, a real estate investor, a reality TV lover, and an online business strategist who has helped thousands of entrepreneurs create, launch, and scale their digital course businesses. Let's dive into this episode. What's up? It's Gemma here, the host of Course Creator Show. I am super excited that you are tuning in. We are coming in from my guest room again with special guest
Mallory Rowan.
So if you didn't catch part one of our podcast, I don't know. Are we calling this like a part one, part two series? Maybe.
Up to you, girl.
Up to you. Okay. So part one has already gone live. If you haven't caught that one yet, go catch up with that episode. Mallory and I talked about this idea of like entrepreneurs burning their business down and what we think maybe we're doing differently that in hopes that like we'd never get to that point.
Yeah,
and
so far so good.
Some like tangible, hopefully takeaways that you can incorporate into your business. But today we wanted to talk about some rapid fire, like address some questions. We've gotten some questions in our DMs. We also just like have a sense that you probably want to know this stuff about us. So we've got five questions that we're going to both answer here about all things personal finance, money, investments, all the things. And don't forget that our event, Personal Finance Unlocked, is happening from April 8th to 12th. So if you are listening to this and it is before April 8th, this is your time to go snag a ticket. There are free tickets available. You can also upgrade to the All Access Pass if you want to keep lifetime access. If you haven't gone over to that page yet, just go over. You're going to be blown away by the speaker lineup that we have created for this five-day virtual summit event. Honestly, some of the most like trusted, well-respected voices in the like personal finance and money world. I haven't seen a lineup like this before. So I think what's cool about events that you and I do together mm-hmm. is that you and I run in such different circles yeah. online. And so when we do stuff, we can like bring such a cool mix.
Totally. And one thing with this one too, I find these are a lot of the conversations we have offline with mm-hmm. these exact people even. Like these are the mentors or the people that I would grab a coffee with or have a Zoom date with and be able to ask them those transparent questions of like, yo, what are you doing with this investment thing? Or how are you doing this with your business?
Yeah. So if you want in on those coffee chat conversations, that's what Personal Finance Unlocked is really going to let you do. And so go grab your ticket, growthweeklive.com. All right, let's jump into these questions. Question number one, if you could tell your younger self one thing about money, what would it be? Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I can start.
Okay.
Why not? For me, I would definitely say like seeking out resources. So I know you and I have talked about this of like neither of us really learning about money as we grew, especially from like family and stuff. And for me, it's just like instead of avoiding or waiting or just doing like the bare minimum of like, I know I put my money in a TFSA at the bank and then like years later figured out that was just like a savings account instead of an investment account, stuff like that, right? So for me, like people, seeing people as a resource too, right? Like whether that's people you follow, consume their content, mentors, peers, just like asking other people and opening those money conversations. I will often ask what would be potentially considered inappropriate questions to people that I know sometimes of just like, yo, what's your monthly of this? Or right. you know what I mean? Because once you start opening those conversations in your circles, people yeah. are more transparent because often I think everyone's comfortable answering. We're just not comfortable asking because we think the other person's uncomfortable.
Totally.
So it's like a never-ending cycle. So people, books, podcasts, I'm still learning about money and everything I learn makes me feel so much more confident. And I also notice like it makes me so much more creative and it just opens up a world of possibilities. Like for Josh and I, when we were purchasing the cottage we have to do short-term rental, like just the way we would go, wait, couldn't we do this? Or can we do this with a mortgage? And it's things I would have never, ever thought about, yeah. but you see other possibilities from things that you learn. And so it really takes me to a new place anytime I learn a new thing.
It actually reminds me of like unlocking, you know, the first time you like learned about online business, that like
yeah.
you could make money
yes.
online
yes.
doing an online business. Like it cracked a door open for me that I You're didn't like, know existed
what?
There. And I was like, wait, hang on. She's doing what?
Yes.
Like she's making that much doing this. Like it I think we can, most people listening have had that moment of being like, hang on, this is happening out there. And it's that same idea of like cracking the door open to personal finance and then starting to understand all the options and strategies and avenues that are at your disposal. So for me, if I could tell my younger self one thing about money, it would have just been to start. Like, I think I, you know, really, because I was like either afraid of it or unaware, frankly, I think it was more like just unaware that investing was, you know, it was like this bit of a foreign concept to me. I just didn't start. And, you know, not that I also just felt, I think, probably pretty broke in my like early 20s. Yeah. However, I could have definitely managed a small monthly contribution from like, I had a job from the time I was like 15 onwards, right? And I kind of always, I was always like a good saver, and I understood the concepts of like being a good saver and what that could mean. It didn't translate into like being an investor. You know, I didn't, I thought about like putting money into the bank account and and having it be savings, but not at all about like what it would mean to actually invest or put money like in the stock market or whatever. So ultimately, I think that like made me miss out on the like some of the opportunity with compounding, right? And so if ever you guys have like looked at a graph of like compounding over time, it's that whole like hockey stick thing where it like looks pretty like slow and steady for a long time and then has that really large like effect, you know, years later kind of thing. And the earlier you can get in with like starting to invest, the more opportunity that you have for additional time to reap from compounding. So for me, it would just be to start. Like I didn't really invest anything until I was, it was definitely late 20s, if not like into my early 30s kind of thing. And just like not really not understanding the difference between like savings and investing at a foundational level. I also just didn't think I realized how simple investing could be.
Yeah. I think it just gets this rep, when, especially when we're growing up, that it's like this big risky thing. And I think it's very common with women to be really good savers. Yeah. And I think that's just part of, we've learned we need to be like secure.
Yeah.
Whereas men are like more encouraged to take risks. So they're like drawn into the fact that investments are risky and that's all they know about it, versus us. We're like, oh, I don't want to touch that. You know, obviously speaking generally, but I find a lot of women are like, I was such a good saver. I just didn't know more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question here. How do you set realistic financial goals without feeling overwhelmed or discouraged? I can take this one first if you want. So for me, it's funny. I was thinking about this and like thinking about how it's like the same thing when I like map out a funnel.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing I love doing in my business of like mapping out.
Oh,
I love a system. I love a funnel. And so for me, financial goals is like really similar. I love to map it out. Okay. I'm the first one to tell you, like, I love those online calculators where you're like, okay, if I put in X amount a month for the next X number of years, like, what is that going to get me by the time I'm 60 or, you know, whatever age you want to put in there? And we'll actually share links to some of those calculators in Personal Finance Unlocked because they're really fun to play with. But I love to sit down with like that kind of calculator, figure it out, and like work backwards from there. And then it's like, okay, I know if like that's my goal, if I want to get to that big number and I know it means X amount per month, like, what's the plan? If there's a gap, like if I don't have that much per month today to start putting into that investment account, like figuring out how to close the gap. And so I just love to map it out, see where it's going. I think I get really excited when I see the end vision and then I can work backwards from there in developing an action plan. Because if I don't see the end vision, it's a little bit like, I'm doing this for what again? Mm-hmm. And then I just feel like I can like go off on tangents and forget to... It's like connecting to your why. It's like you forget, or you just like don't have the North Star directing you to where you want to go.
100%. I feel like something for me that I've really learned about myself is that I need to constantly just like have a little sit down with my partner where we're getting back to the like, okay, where are we at with these things? What are we going towards? And it will fire me up and help me feel more like purposeful again. Mm-hmm. I find for myself, like, it's funny reading this question about setting realistic financial goals without feeling overwhelmed or discouraged. It actually made me realize, I'm like, oh, interesting. Like, setting the goals doesn't make me feel that way. And it almost made me learn that about myself. Mm-hmm. Of like, I actually get really excited about setting the goal, similar to you, of like, if I can see where I'm going, I'm like, I am on this train and I am like going over the speed limit. But for me, it's really about like more in the rollout. Like I said, one of my things is I need to check back in with that, because that's the thing that doesn't overwhelm me or discourage me. It's the thing that excites me. I need that system of coming back to it, because I can get overwhelmed or discouraged with the small things. Like, let's say early on, I don't fully understand the difference between two investment accounts. I will just like avoid investing in them, or just do one versus just going and asking someone the quote unquote dumb questions until I understand it better. Because I think sometimes we turn the things that we're afraid of into these big monsters, and then we like learn about it, or we do it and we're like, okay, that actually wasn't that 100%. So that's the biggest thing for me. It's like, I get the goals are the easy part. It's the like not being afraid of what it means the next steps are.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It's, you know, it's interesting when you said that. I also don't feel overwhelmed or discouraged setting those financial goals. Like, setting the goal doesn't overwhelm me. Maybe it's like, I have some really big goals.
Yeah.
And still, even though I'm nowhere near like what those might look like, you're right. It's not overwhelming.
And I think circling back to something we talked about in the last episode, of just that, like, when you are constantly putting towards future you in those investments, it's almost like setting even the big scary goals don't feel so scary, because I'm like, I'm actually good if they don't happen too.
Totally. Right?
We're not in that mode of being like, I need this to be okay. I think we build in that security for us so that it can feel exciting.
Yeah. So good. Okay, next question here. Do you have different types of investments? And if so, how do you spread them out? So I can take this one first. Sure. I think Mallory and I have like somewhat similar responses. But let me just like run you through what that looks like for me personally. So we have, when I say we, it's like my husband, Dan, and I. So we have at this point, both residential and commercial real estate. This was definitely probably my first real investment, was like buying our personal home that we bought. You guys, like, looking back on it, I feel like, oh my gosh, we were so crazy to like buy that when we bought it, because we had no, I don't know, our income wasn't like that stable. It definitely was not that high at the time. It was like first jobs out of university still kind of phase. But we had been watching way too much Scott McGillivray on HGTV, and we just wanted to jump in, and we did. So, it, you know, in the end, it served us really well. It was like a really good decision. Could have gone, I feel like, could have gone both
ignorance
ways.
Ignorance is bliss.
Like, ignorance is totally bliss. Yeah. So that was like our first foray into real estate. And then I don't know what happened. Like, well, there was like a lot of years of like saving and all that stuff. We had babies and whatever. But then in 2020, like after COVID, something happened. And then we bought
the bug.
Yeah.
Something
happened. We bought like a duplex with my parents. So that's like a 50-50 split. And I think because we were like really nervous about buying our first like completely investment piece of real estate, I like wanted to do it with my mommy and daddy. You know, I was like so afraid of like making a mistake. So we did 50-50 with them. And then once Dan and I felt like, oh, okay, we actually don't need to do it like holding hands with our parents, we bought a next piece of real estate the next year, which was a bigger building. And it was like a triplex, meaning like three apartments. And that one was a much bigger project. So we did like a whole gut renovation to it. And that's fully rented out now. And then in 2022, we purchased a mixed commercial and residential piece of real estate. So it's got commercial on the bottom, and it's actually still being renovated on the top to turn it into five apartments for the residential piece above. So our real estate investment is feeling pretty like solid. I think that's like, it's probably at this point an over, like we're probably too heavily invested in real estate. So now we've, since 2022, we've really like reprioritized to coming back to making sure that our investments in like the stock market are just as strong, or actually stronger, like it should be a bigger piece of our pie.
I feel like your real estate hockey stick is like a straight angle.
Right, exactly.
It's like bought it, nothing. Okay, let's go.
Yeah. So then when we come to like the investment piece, in terms of the stock market, we're also, you know, we do have, you know, a nice chunk of our like portfolio sits in terms in that part. And that's very diversified as well in terms of like stocks and bonds and, geographically, like, you know, Canadian and US and like the global diversification piece, we definitely have taken like all of that into consideration. So, and we have like investments on the personal side and also investments within our corporation as well. And then things like, you know, our kids' education account, we have like the registered retirement accounts. Like these are all Canadian specific types of like tax advantaged accounts that you can open, and a TFSA is another Canadian one. So like we have all of those things and have investments happening in all of those buckets as well. So we're definitely like, that's a huge, it's, you know, I joke that our real estate is bigger, but like that's definitely been a priority as well. And it's just what we've shifted our focus onto that of late in a big way. And then now the other piece for us is also venturing into other businesses as well. So looking at, we're not quite at the point of like angel investing yet, but just looking at what it looks like to get involved in other businesses and have be building assets in that way as well. So real estate, stock market, and in other business ventures. And I think that that's one of the things, like you can have this idea of where you want to go in terms of having like a really diversified portfolio. Doesn't mean you have to do them all at once. Like you can start mm-hmm. with one thing and then build as you go. I'm coming at you now as like a 39-year-old, like, well, about to be 39. My birthday is in a couple of weeks. I'm just like, jumped the gun there. 39-year-old woman, you know, who's had like a bunch of like working years now to build up that kind of portfolio. So like, don't feel stress if you're like not there yet.
I think especially as entrepreneurs, people don't realize like the exponential curve that's in front of them.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is being an entrepreneur is like, actually have to think about this stuff because I don't necessarily have, like, I don't have like a pension, you know, yep. I think we were talking about this before of like, I was telling Mallory how like both of my parents, maybe part of the reason why like investing and stuff wasn't a big part of our like conversation at home was because they were both in government jobs working, you know, they were going to work there 30 years or whatever, and then have a secure pension at the end of the day. When you're an entrepreneur, that's not the reality. And so you actually really have to get with it in terms of like building your assets so that you have something to rely on.
Yeah. And using it as motivation. I remember when you bought the commercial property that year, you were like, I am pushing in my business because any revenue I can make is going to make me feel more secure in that investment.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. So talk about yours. I'd love to know your spread.
I'll try to do a little shorty because I feel like we're pretty similar.
Yeah.
For us, we also have real estate. So we have our primary and then a long term and a short term.
Yeah.
And actually, it's funny the way you were talking about back to back. We also like we bought our house in 2020. We bought our next primary in 2021. And then we bought the cottage in 2022. So it often happens that way, right? Yeah. And you can go from owning, actually we had a joke where we didn't go to Costco after we moved from like the suburbs to the city for a while. And then when we finally went, I was like, I have three more homes than the last time I went to Costco, which feels so absurd to say, but it was just one of those things where like we went from renting and then boom, boom, boom. So that's kind of the real estate side for us. Also investments in the stock market personally through things like a TFSA and RSP, the Canadian accounts, and also the corporate side as well, which is something I could like nerd out about on all day in another time. We actually this year made our first like monetary investment in another business, which was really fun and exciting. And I think it was a good example of like building your peer network too, because it was someone who didn't need to extend that option to us, but they were even like, I remember when I made my first investment in a business and like, this is something I want to offer to you guys and also like make you feel supported and not embarrassed to be like noobs about it, you know? So that was a really cool one for us. And then we also are playing a little bit in the crypto space, which I won't go like in details about because I feel like some people's eyes just like glaze over. But I would say like when we look at spreading them out, like the business investment and the crypto ones, I would definitely say are more of the like bigger risk, bigger reward mm-hmm. categories. I would say any investments like that, obviously I would hate to lose all that money, yeah. but I look at it as like that money is now gone. And if it's a gift that comes back to me, yeah. so be it. But yeah, for me in terms of like what that actually looks like, I'm similar to you. I like to focus on one and like, I like dumping money. Like mm-hmm. if you're like, Mal, go make 40K. I'm like, okay, let me figure this out, right? But if you're like, make $1,000 a week, I'm like, you know? It's just funny how like people need different things. It's the same with, I do like a workout app and sometimes it'll be like, do this exercise for 45 seconds. And I'm like, I could do three. And then they'd be like, do 100. I'm like, you got it. So I think it's so important to like learn how your brain works and then use it instead of like trying to yeah. fight it, like use it to your advantage. So for me, I like that. I like the goal. I like dumping in chunks, as I say. And I kind of think of all my investments as money that's no longer mine. Like I have never put money into an investment and then been like, if I need this, I'll take it 100%. Out. And I think that's like, I almost think everyone thinks that way, but I've realized it's such a good skill because so many people put it in, but they have that one foot out the door. And I'm like, no, that's gone.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And then it'll just be a nice surprise later for
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I think this is our fourth question.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
How did your money game change once your business started to really grow?
So I think one thing that really happened for me when I started to make really good money with the business and it felt like more secure. I think like the mm-hmm. first year I made decent money, I'm like, think it was a fluke. Like, oh my let's God. See if it happens again. Mm-hmm. And you keep thinking like the rug is going to be pulled out from under you. But once I started to see stability there and like repetition of like growth and good, being able to like make good money in the business, it allowed me to feel, I think, more calm about taking those risks. And not even like, you know, I don't even feel like I take big risks. Like maybe buying the real estate yeah. was like more of a
it's
risk.
It's big for you.
Yeah, totally.
I'm the same way.
And I just felt more of that confidence and a sense of security. Both a sense of security in terms of my decision making, because I was also like, I had learned a lot more about personal finance by that mm-hmm. point. So I felt more secure in making those decisions I was making. They felt more educated. And so I felt more confident in that way, but also more secure in like, oh, okay, I do know what I'm doing. And yeah. I actually know that like, even if everything stopped in my business tomorrow, I know that I could turn around and create a successful business again
100%.
In a heartbeat because I understand it now. And having that level of confidence in myself really allowed me to feel more at ease, I think, with like any investing decisions we were making. And so that just comes with time. Like, I think there's nothing that mm-hmm. there's no like strategy there, but
yeah, it's the experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's putting in the reps, like quite literally.
Exactly. What about for you?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if it's just because we're so similar as people, yeah. but I'm hoping it's like promising for people that listen of, I feel like those are such major takeaways for both of like, we're more comfortable with bigger risks. Definitely more confident in myself, less scarcity and more trust.
Yeah.
Last year was really interesting for me from like an opportunity perspective because I had another one of those moments of like, oh, this feels so good. What if it all gets pulled out from under me? But I was able to, you know, go through it so much smoother than maybe if that happened to me in the past because I was like, even if the rug got pulled out, like I'm okay.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's really helpful. And as someone that did burn down their first business,
yeah.
I learned a lot from that. And I think like you said, you could do it again and I'm proof you could do it again faster and yeah. more efficient and in a way that you'll like it more. I also would say one thing for me was like, it also from like the money game, it got more complicated, not in a bad way,
right?
But it's just like at the beginning, the question was like, do I invest in this account or this account?
Yeah.
And then now it's like, okay, then at one point I started investing through my corporation. Okay. What does that look like? Right now it's making those decisions of like, do I take a risk on crypto? How much am I willing to risk? Yeah. Do I invest in this business or do I invest sweat equity into it? Right. And for me, that's really fun because it forces you to keep learning. And I feel like it's like literally like a video game where you get to unlock the next level. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, the door opens and you're like, oh my gosh, there's so many new things here that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. It'll be interesting actually to circle back like
yeah.
in 5 years oh my or 10 gosh. Years. Think of how different like our
yeah.
investment.
It'll be like my portfolio. First business investment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So fun. Okay. So The last question here had been like, can you share some beginner-friendly investment options for someone just starting to build their portfolio? And this is where we're going to come in with a really cheesy line of that you need to come to Personal Finance Unlocked. This is where we are going to be tackling all of these things. And I say we, it's not really we.
Yeah, it's we and 30 of our closest friends.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these are the people that Mallory and I trust and listen to as well when it comes to investment advice like this. And so really, truly, like, if you haven't already grabbed your free ticket, we really recommend that you come. And you can go and check out the page right now and see, like, what days have which talks. And if you very specifically are like, okay, I, you know, want to, like, maybe you haven't ever invested in the stock market and you really want to get, like, the lowdown on that. There are some great speakers on day two that'll be exactly
Chloe's got a great lazy investing strategy. Yeah. So you don't even have to think about it that much if you're not, like, Gemma and I nerding out.
Yeah, exactly.
Nonstop.
Yeah. So many speakers on that. There's also, like, if you are feeling a bit overwhelmed with managing the money in your business, like, as a business owner, being the CEO.
Yes.
There's some very good talks on, I think it's day four.
Yep.
Especially about, like, how to things like how to, like, stay close to the money in your business, how to, like, even things like
receipt management.
I was gonna say, like,
I'm so excited for that one. I'm like, give me all the tips. She's,
I'm actually, like, gonna tell you, I know Christine's system and it's
so good.
It's so good. So, like, come to that talk for sure. Yeah. We have another CPA from the States too. So, like, it's kind of nice because we have a Canadian CPA and a US and an American CPA giving talks. And yeah, there's just some really good ones, especially around, like, how to leverage your business to grow your personal wealth. And then we've got money mindset stuff on Friday. If you're, like, really struggling with, a lot of people carry around, like, money stories, like,
totally,
myself included for sure. And sometimes I'm like, okay, how can I not pass some of those on to my children? You know, like, I definitely have some inherited money stories, especially from my mother. And, like, she and I joke about it now. I'm like, okay, how do I change the narrative for my kids? And actually, we have someone coming and speaking about, what's, like, the kid one again?
How to create generational wealth and how to secure financial freedom for your children.
Yeah.
Or financial future. Yeah.
I will definitely be taking it, like, listening to that one.
And this one's actually on day one, which we haven't really talked about, but Parween's talking all about, like, cultural and family narratives and, like, how that impacts your money, because a lot of the advice out there sounds great until you're like, okay, but if something comes up for my parents, like, I have to give that money if I have it. So she even talks about some systems of, like, you know, we talked about emergency funds a lot, but how do you do that when you almost need, like, a family savings fund too? Yeah. So I'm really excited for that one.
Yeah. And the one about anxiety.
Yes. That Alyssa Davies is talking to us about financial anxiety. Elise Fulmore is talking about ADHD and how to gamify your money. So, so many good talks.
Mallory did an interview as well with Jay, who is the author of The One Thing, if you haven't read that book yet.
As well as recommend it. Million Dollar Real Estate Investor and Million Dollar Real Estate Agent.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's a real good
one. We could go on and on, you guys. We could name all the speakers and gush about every single one. So all that to say, go grab your ticket. It's at growthweeklive.com. We will see you there. It kicks off April 8th. That's it from me and Mallory sitting in my guest room.
On
the floor. We got to stand up, you guys. Our butts are hurting. Thanks for listening to this episode. See you in the next one. That's a wrap on this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're ready to launch your first course, sign up for our free class in the show notes to learn my method on how to do it successfully and unlock an invite into our signature program, Course Creator School. Or if you've already launched a course and you're ready to scale and go evergreen, it is time to join us inside of the Passive Project, my membership community for experienced course creators. Head to gemmabonhamcarter.com/apply to submit an application. If you enjoyed this episode, leave me a rating or review or tag me over on Instagram at gemma.bonhamcarter. I would love to hear from you. I'll see you next time on The Course Creator Show.